Welcome to Clearing the Static. News, analysis, and discussion of developments in radio and television in the United States and Canada. Your hosts are the Radio Kid and Jake Longwell. From Clearing the Static, this is Radio News Now with the Radio Kid.
Welcome to Radio News Now, the radio newscast to go to when your radio station changes format for the week ending March 3rd. I am the Radio Kid reporting an item that we didn't get to on last week's radio show. Fox Sports Radio comes to Hartford, Connecticut. A couple weeks ago, Clear Channel signed on the new 97.9, which was formerly licensed to Springfield, Massachusetts, on in the Hartford market. That station became the ESPN-affiliated radio station, 97.9 ESPN Radio WUCX. Our questions surrounded WPOP AM 1410, which had been the ESPN affiliate. Those two Clear Channel radio stations have been and are in a simulcast, but as of Monday, March 5th, that will change. WPOP will become the Fox Sports Radio affiliate for the Hartford market. The local afternoon radio show will continue from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and the website for the radio station will be foxsportsradiohartford.com. Some news out of Albany, New York to tell you about. Some changes over at Clear Channel have led to a rebranding. Although the most notable change is the ouster of the Wolfman from his morning show, Waking Up with the Wolf, another change took place at Clear Channel the same day. WTRY 98.3 has rebranded as Oldies 98.3, rather than the My Music Now format, but the radio station is still playing a classic hits mix. Things are starting to whistle in Sioux City, Iowa. Clear Channel has flipped formats on KWSL 1460 from oldies to classic country as 1460 The Whistle. The website for the radio station, 1460thewhistle.com. We believe, although we have not been able to verify this, that Clear Channel operates another country classic country station using the Whistle branding. It looks like a train has derailed in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and Jack is the one who derailed it. Country KTRW, licensed to Paradigm, Arkansas, has dropped its Country Train 107.1 format in favor of Variety Hits 107.1 Jack FM. We have been unable to locate a website or more information about the radio station. Say hello to Bob in Waco. A couple weeks ago, missed by the format change resources that we use here at the radio program, we have now learned that 106.7 KDOC in Waco, Texas, has dropped its Doc FM Classic Hits Variety Hits format, replacing it with Country Kicks 106.7. That has led a competitor to pick up the format, as 101.3 drops Country and becomes Variety Hits 101.3 Bob FM. The website, which is under construction, is 1013bobfm.com. The radio station is using jocks from 92.9 Mix FM KRMX. That's because those jocks are no longer on that radio station. Instead, there is a loop on 92.9 directing listeners to 101.3. 929shooter.com and 929shooterfm.com were registered by the Mix programming director, Aaron Whalen. This leads radio industry speculators to believe that a variant of country will be replacing the mix format very soon. Some changes are ahead for the sports lineup in Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Communications is making some changes to its cluster in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The sports format of the team, 93.9 WJXY and 93.7 WXJY, is changing. It is moving to 100.3 WSEA. That station will become 100.3 The Team. But that's not all the splitting that's being done. Cumulus is splitting the 1050 signal, which was simulcasting The Team, to its own sports radio station as Fox Sports Radio 1050. That show will carry the national lineup from Fox Sports Radio. So what of the 93.9 and 93.7 frequencies, which are actually run by the Volt Media Trust? They will become CHR Z93.9. This will all take place on Monday, the 5th. The mix starts blazing in Fort Walton Beach. Last week, we told you about the change from Rhythmic CHR to CHR at Fly 92.1, which is now Q92.1, taking the WECQ call letters. But those aren't the only changes that new owner Apex Media has put into effect. As of Friday, WMXZ, which had been Mix 103.1, has become Rock 103.1 The Blaze, with the website 1031theblaze.com. We monitored the radio station, and we have an air check of the format flip taking place later today on the program. Apex does some mixing in Charleston. Well, as the mix went away in Fort Walton Beach, it hasn't gone away in Charleston, South Carolina. In fact, it just debuted on 95.9 WYEP. 95.9 had switched from country to light 95.9 just 9 months ago. Now the radio station is Mix 95.9, today's best music without the rap. That is the same formatics that were in place in Fort Walton Beach. It has been speculated that the WMXZ call letters will move from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, to Charleston, South Carolina. As of now, the website mix959charleston.com is available, but it is under construction. The old Light 95.9 website, which did have an active Listen Live page, the Listen Live page does exist, but we tried it this afternoon. We did not hear any audio. Some changes are taking place in the Hudson Valley region of New York State as the Fox AC branding and radio station are gone from WTSX 96.7 Port Jervis and its 1490 WDLC. Those radio stations are now running classic hits as Pocono 96.7. The operator, Sunrise Broadcasting, had been LMAing that radio station. The radio station has been bought by something called Neverless Communications from its previous owner. And finally, last but not least this week, it was a final farewell for CHR listeners in Mobile, Alabama. Radio station WABB 97.5 went away this week at midnight. The tribute that was given to the radio station was, by some people's estimates, the best hour-long farewell tribute given to any radio station. As that radio station said goodbye, another one said hello. We told you last week that Cumulus was planning on filling the CHR void, and they have. They constructed a radio station, 104.1 WABT, trying to play off the WABB heritage. The radio station sounds very similar to the 97.5 WABB that had been airing in the market. We can tell that Jan Jeffries is trying to simulate WABB. We will have a review of this radio station later on in the program. For more information and news tips, please visit our website, clearingthestatic.tripod.com. You may email the program, radionewsnow@ymail.com. For the week ending March the 2nd, I am the Radio Kid, and that is your Radio News Now.
And thank you, Radio Kid, for Radio News Now, a jam-packed edition of Radio News Now this week on Clearing the Static. That is what you're listening to, Clearing the Static, here on Geneva Community Radio. Jake Longwell and the Radio Kid still along with me for another hour of discussion of developments in this industry we call the radio industry.
Yes, and there are a lot of developments this week. Where to begin? That is the big question.
Well, I'll leave that up to you, my friend.
Well, we might as well talk about this new WABT and WABB. Normally, this would be a kid's corner, but this is so prevalent that it deserves its own actual discussion. I have not been able to hear the sign off of WABB, but I have heard the Cumulus WABT. It's actually not bad. I mean, it sounds very typical of a Cumulus radio station. You can tell that they really think that they can create the heritage of this radio station, even though the radio station is voice tracked. You can tell it's automated. It's 10,000 songs in a row. My feeling on it is I highly doubt listeners are going to go for this.
No, and I'm inclined to agree with you, considering the following that WABB obviously had before its demise. I think some people would consider this to be somewhat of an insult.
I know I would. I mean, I don't know. It's, from what I understand, this is very personal for Jan Jeffries, the guy who programs CHR for Cumulus, because ABB is where he got his start.
Uh-huh.
That's why he's doing this. Well, that's why Cumulus is doing this. But you don't just program a takeoff of a heritage radio station with 10,000 songs in a row. First of all, why didn't they? If I were Cumulus, you know what I would have done? I would have told the WABB staffers, hey, we want to do this WABB replica. You're hired.
Yes. Yes, that's the first thing that should have been done. But obviously wasn't.
No. No, it wasn't. Now, maybe they'll correct their mistakes.
That could be. And also, you have to keep in mind, I mean, what this man would like to do, he might want to do more with it, but because of his restrictions placed on him by corporate, perhaps that's why it is the way that it is.
Well, right. I mean, Cumulus, you know this. We've talked about this. Cumulus is pretty set on how they program stuff.
Absolutely. So it could be that this is just, unfortunately, this is, I hate to say it, but it's going to be as good as it's going to get.
Right. But they really think that they can steal some audience, which, I mean, they don't have an open market. Clear Channel does have a CHR in WRGV, and that has actually become a pretty good-sounding radio station. But Mobile doesn't have anything local. They don't have, as of yet, a CHR now with local live jocks in that building who can connect with the community. I'm going to say that again, Cumulus. If you want this thing to succeed, you need to connect with the community. Maybe if I speak slower, they'll be able to read my lips and actually understand me or something.
No, I agree with you. That's and that's what these companies just aren't getting these days.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I don't even know what to say, but I mean, I haven't heard the final sign off of WABB, and I mean, it's an hour long, and even if there was, there's no way we could play the entire thing as much as I'd like to. I do plan on listening to it this week, and so we may be talking about it next week.
That's fine. I think we should.
You know, I had planned to talk about it this week, but I didn't get around to it. One thing I did get around to doing, the format in Fort Walton Beach, this new format change from Blaze to, or excuse me, from Mix to Blaze, because they were stunting, and we knew what time they were going to change, and all that, guess what I have?
You never cease to amaze me with what you're able to come up with.
I've got an air check. So, should we listen to this now?
Yes, I think we should.
All right, here we go.
Signal. Here. It's just too damn bad that, well, all the radio stations around here kind of, you know, suck. You got your country and soft rock, top 40, hip-hop, stations that do nothing but talk at you. And even the so-called rock station plays oldies. It doesn't rock. So let the word go out.
Hello, you guys hear me?
Right here and right now. From Fort Walton Beach to Niceville. From the boardwalk to the air bases. We are here to rock this bitch. Gaga's worst nightmare.
Don't touch this radio.
Hold on. 103.1 The Blaze.
Give me it.
Oh yeah. The Blaze rocks.
There you are. That was the sign on of 103.1 The Blaze. WZLB. It had been WMXZ. Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
Well, they certainly pulled no punches as to what they were trying to do with this new radio station.
You got that right.
That's probably one of the most direct approaches to launching a format that I've ever heard.
Yeah. I know.
We're gonna rock this bitch.
I know, right? but they're right. You know, they do... There is a classic rock station in that market, but they are absolutely right that there is no active rock or modern rock radio station, which is what the Blaze is. And honestly, I never would have suspected Apex of doing a rock format, because they don't do that format. They haven't done that format since they pulled it in Charleston about 5 years ago. So this is actually a surprise to me. Right now, the radio station is automated, and I'm quite interested to see how well or what they'll do with it.
Yes, especially if they've decided to apparently get back into programming active rock. That's obviously they want to give it another try and see what happens. And I think if the market is everything that format debut claimed it would be, then I think it would do rather well if there's a market for something like that down there, and I'm willing to suspect that there is. I mean, let's face it, a lot of people like rock, so.
Right, and I think that they've made a very wise decision here. What's interesting to me is that they are using Brad Bonair for their voice. Now, if you don't know who Brad Bonair is, he's done a lot of work for CHR formats. He was the Brad of the Brad and Tasia, who were the voices for the Movin' format. He voices all of the Cox CHR stations for Cox Communications. I think he's the guy, he does the Honda. I want to say it's Honda. Yes, he does the Honda commercials on TV.
Okay, now, because when I was listening to that, I knew that I had heard that voice before. And I was trying to figure out where I heard it, and I'm almost thinking that's where I heard it, because I don't listen to CHR radio unless I absolutely have to. So.
Yes. But yeah, it's surprising, because he normally doesn't voice rock, and it's a very interesting choice for an imaging voice that they picked out.
Well, we'll definitely be following this and see how well this format fares down in the one of the southernmost regions of the U.S.
Yes. So keep a listen on that. 1031theblaze.com if you're interested. And this is Clearing the Static. We need to take a break.
Okay. We can do that, yes. And yes. We will come back, and we will continue on with the discussion, as we do every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Geneva Community Radio. And if you missed this program, or, well, obviously you didn't miss it because you're listening right now, but if you'd like to hear it again, or if you'd like to hear any of our other programs...
If you'd like to hear Brad Bonair say, we're going to rock this bitch again.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. it will be preserved forever on our archive at clearingthestatic.tripod.com. We'll be back in just a moment, folks, with more of Clearing the Static.
Clearing the Static. clearingthestatic.tripod.com. It's who we are, what we like, and what we do. Radio Geekdom at its best. The show that talks about radio is Clearing the Static. clearingthestatic.tripod.com.
And we're back. That wasn't so bad. A very short break, and that's more than we can say for most commercial radio stations that take breaks.
That's right.
Clearing the Static, the Radio Kid, and Jake Longwell here with you for this weekly get-together where we talk about and complain about and whine and moan about radio and the always usually disappointing developments in the industry.
Yes, and there are plenty of them today. One of the more disappointing developments is the format change that we didn't get to in the newscast of KBOC Radio in Kansas City, 1660. Of course, it hasn't always been on 1660. That's where Entercom put it. It is going to a business talk format. In fact, it's already been flipped over to a business talk format. modeled as KMBZ Business. And so this means that another commercial classical station is gone. That's what this means, folks. And honestly, I would expect nothing less from the culturally deprived bastards at Entercom.
I agree. I agree. I guess the only thing I can say is, I, for what it's worth, is to thank them for not pulling the plug sooner, because certainly they could have.
They could have. But what they did do is they donated their library to Kansas Public Radio.
Right. Now, so please, I don't know if you know the answer to this, because I don't want to sound ignorant. Was that network already doing classical?
Well, here's the problem. It does classical only part-time.
Ah, yes. I thought so. And the rest of the time, it's NPR news.
Right. Right. So it's like, okay, we're going to donate our classical library to these people. And we're just going to sit back on our little hands and hope that they bring you some culture. But, of course, that's not what they say in the press release, Mr. Tim Doyle of Entercom. Oh, no. Kansas Public Radio, we fully trust Kansas Public Radio that they are going to bring you the best classical music. Well, guess what? We called Kansas Public Radio. Okay? They are not planning on going classical full time. At least that's what they told me.
I see. Not even. Now, what would surprise me is I wonder if they would consider doing something on one of their HD channels. Surely they must have HD capability.
That's a possibility. And that is something, that's an idea that they're kicking around. But the question, who's going to hear it? I mean, yes, I know pretty much every radio industry executive has their head in the sand thinking that this HD radio crap is going to catch on. It won't. So basically, I mean, that's not, I mean, as much as, okay, we can, it's not a solution.
No, it's not. Now, fans of classical music in that market are going to have to just be willing to share part of their day with the NPR news programming.
Right.
Which, you know, that's a lot of public radio stations are doing that. So a lot of people are saying, well, what's the big deal here? The big deal is if you are accustomed to having access to a format full time, and all of a sudden you're being forced to listen to it only certain portions of the day. I mean, that would make a lot of people unhappy. And I don't care what anybody says. I mean, yes, classical music doesn't draw the revenue that it once did, but it still has a following. You know, I can't speak for the Midwest, but certainly here in upstate New York, the public radio stations doing classical music have a huge support following and support base.
Yes, they do. But and I know that 1660, it had its loyal following. But and I can see where they would say, oh, well, you know, we in places like Washington, D.C. and I think Miami.
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, public radio, they picked up the mantle and went classical full time. Yes, but Kansas City only has two public radio stations. KAPU 91.7 and The Bridge, which is AAA.
Right.
They don't have three or four or five.
No. I mean, there is also a community station in the market. Now, whether they would consider doing anything with the format, I don't know.
Well, I don't know, because, again, they are a community station.
Right.
But they would have to, go with the format full time.
Yes.
And a community station like KKFI, I don't think they do that. I really don't think they do that.
No, probably not. So, unfortunately, this is as good as it gets for fans of classical in Kansas City, unless someone else were to pick up the format. And I just don't see that happening, given the landscape, the radio landscape in the market.
No, I don't see it happening. And you're going to have a lot of upset classical music fans. That's what you're going to have.
Well, at the same time, I think people will adjust. I mean, look at cities like Philadelphia and Detroit, where you've got the public radio stations in the market, or a public radio station in each market did pick up classical when it was dumped by a commercial station. But you have a situation in both cities where the classical music is on for 12 hours a day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and jazz is on from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Right. You don't have a news sharing a service where you have to share it with the news.
No, but you do have to share, in the case of classical, you do have to share it with jazz. And while a lot of people like myself love both genres of music, there are some who do not.
Right.
And so you look at those cities, and the fans of jazz and or classical in those cities, they've had to put up with a sharing agreement like this for close to 15 years. And right. So it sounds to me like this city is no exception. And this just is sad, because you have yet another example of a company that is saying, we don't see classical music as a commercially viable format.
Again, these are the same people who dumped it in San Francisco. The only thing with San Francisco, again, another city where Entercom at least was decent enough to make the arrangements to put classical on full time.
Yes.
And the fact that they, I don't think they could, because of the market landscape, I don't think they could have logistically done that in Kansas City.
No.
Not without getting somebody to change their format or something.
No. So that is really unfortunate. Now I'm going to do some research, because I want to learn or see a list of the commercial classical stations that still remain. Because I do have to wonder how many are left. It seems every year we lose one or two more that are bowing out of the format.
Right. And you're going to see more of that.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I'm afraid the next victims will probably be, and this is just my speculation, I have to wonder how secure the WBach network is up in New England.
Well, with Nassau being sold, you know that's not secure.
No, exactly. So, yet another classical station biting the dust here. It's a sad state of affairs. And it really is sad, considering that, when you consider that one of the selling points of FM radio when the band was first being marketed 50, 60 years ago now, was its ability to reproduce audio in high fidelity. And a lot of your early FM pioneers were classical music stations, and all of them in those days were supported by advertising.
Yes. Well, that's not the case anymore. If you have any thoughts on this, or if you have a list of classical music, commercial classical stations, email us. We're at radionewsnow@ymail.com.
That's right. We love getting email from listeners. If you have any input into the program, we'd love to hear from you. Your feedback is always greatly appreciated. And if you have news stories also that we don't always get all the news that happens in radio around the country. Sometimes things do slip through the cracks. And if you have a story that you feel is newsworthy, by all means, send it to us, and our editor will consider it.
Yes, that's right. I consider all submissions. Speaking of considering, there are some people who are, I guess, not taking jazz fans into consideration in Buffalo, New York. We've talked about this before on the program, the sale of WNED. I wish it was the sale of WNED. The sale of WBFO has closed to the operators of WNED, AM and FM, and they are now simulcasting WNED-AM. Didn't we tell you that this was going to happen?
Yes. Yes, we did.
I think we said on this program, point blank.
Yes, absolutely. But, there were changes made. In fact, there's a lengthy discussion, and I would encourage folks to check it out. It's quite long. It's a 17-page thread on the Buffalo Niagara Rochester Radio Info Board. And through that discussion, I was able to check out some links to some news articles about this sale from the Buffalo News and such. And it's interesting to see the changes that are taking place as a result of this merger.
Well, I find the changes quite mundane myself. Actually, this is typical. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make WBFO and WNED the traditional public radio station. They're cutting out a lot of the local programming that was on WNED, right? So they can make way for crap like Talk of the Nation. I think Diane Rehm was on that schedule.
Yes, I believe so, yes.
They're not even, one of the programs that, actually a couple of the programs that we carry, Primetime Radio.
Yes.
And I think there was another one, Your People's Pharmacy or People.
Yes, whatever. Yes, People's Pharmacy and also The Health Show.
Yes. And Best of Our Knowledge, like we carry a lot of the WAMC stuff.
Yes.
And so did, I think, either BFO or NED.
WNED.
Well, it's gone now.
Yes. Yes.
So who carried it?
WNED AM.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And because it's, according to the operators, it's not quality public radio.
No, and it's really sad that some people feel that way. And there was one poster on the thread that I just alluded to, and I'm not going to call him out, but I will say I respectfully disagree with him. That is to say, I respectfully disagree with him. I'm not disrespectfully disagreeing with him when he said that those programs were crappy public radio. I think the reason some people might think that is because they're not from NPR and they're free. Stations don't have to pay for them.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's kind of like those. I hate to be stereotypical and generalizing, but you're going to know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like the women. There are certain women who won't buy a pair of shoes or a coat unless it has the brand name on it, right?
Right.
It's kind of like some of us in the radio industry. We don't consider a program public radio unless it's got the NPR tag on it. Well, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that kind of genre, public radio, or the term, actually came from National Public Radio. That's why we tend to put the label on it. A better label for that kind of programming would be Free Source Radio.
Yes.
Or public supported radio or something. But my point is, just because it doesn't have the NPR tag on it doesn't mean it's not good programming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think they are making a mistake. They also, one thing that I didn't realize, because admittedly I hadn't looked at the WNED schedule in quite a while, they had been also carrying, and I agree, and I think Radio Kid, you and I have had this discussion off air, they had been carrying some audio simulcasts of TV programs.
Yes.
Like for instance, they carried the Nightly Business Report and the PBS NewsHour, as well as several other talk shows, TV talk shows like Washington Week, that were offered as audio-only simulcasts. And TV on radio never seems to work, or at least it doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't work very well. I mean, okay, granted, you're going to say, yeah, but you guys, you carry Al Jazeera at 7 a.m. Yes, but that's very audio-intensive.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Like, I mean, honestly, I think, like, maybe, like, the NewsHour, that's a program that might work on radio.
Right.
I know, like, 60 Minutes, like, I like hearing 60 Minutes on the radio. Washington Week, maybe. But if you're going to try to carry, like, your local newscast or something, and they say, well, as you can see here, as seen on a screen... No, dimwit, I can't see the screen because radio is not television. My radio didn't come with a 24-pixel screen set.
No. No, it did not. All of those simulcasts are gone. Unfortunately, so is the BBC NewsHour and also The World, which was another great program.
All the jazz from BFO is gone.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, yes,
they're putting in Jazzworks, and
on
finally,
HD on HD two,
on HD two, yeah, on HD two. Oh, we gotta say that on HD two, and they're going to move the blues programming from Saturday and Sunday afternoons to Saturday and Sunday evenings.
And that just goes to show the huge outcry that the blues audience in the Buffalo area made really did pay off.
Yes, it did. And honestly, despite what a lot of the fans say, I think the evenings, maybe not Saturday evenings, but Sunday evenings is a great time to have that on.
I agree. And I'm glad that they've chosen to keep it. Now, see, here's what I would have done, though. I think a simulcast of the stations is a bit redundant, but they could have kept all of this quote-unquote crappy programming on 970 while they did the blues programming on 88.7.
Yes.
That's what I would have done. Or I would have still split the AM off and give people an incentive to listen to that frequency. Now there's no incentive for people to listen. Granted, supposedly the rumor mills are churning that they want to sell it, so maybe they don't want to give people an incentive.
Yeah, you know what, though? Ever since, because they've been talking about that now for like about a month or so, but ever since this transaction, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems to me that part of the rumor mill has kind of quieted down.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Well, then maybe it's off the market.
I don't know.
And if it is, then all right, give people an incentive to listen to it.
Right.
If you're not going to, you know, if you would rather have the FM be the dominant news talk station, okay, then somebody on that thread suggested something that I quite agree with. Whether they'll do it or not has yet to be seen. But okay, turn 970 into a music format. Jazz, blues, standards, maybe some other specialized programming for some of Buffalo's ethnic communities.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that. Because what are you doing? You're giving people who don't have anywhere else to go for music, for that kind of music, the incentive. You are telling them, hey, yo, we've got this thing that you can't get anywhere else.
Absolutely. And I think people will listen, and I also think people will pledge. Not, you know, and another thing that was brought up on that thread, and it's sad but true, not all public radio listeners are members, but I think you will get enough pledges to make the format viable.
I agree.
So, but no, I saw this coming. I mean, it's a trend. It's a trend where you're seeing colleges deciding that they want out of the radio business, especially if they no longer have or never had a broadcasting program. So, as another poster in the thread said, the administration at SUNY Buffalo is probably glad to be rid of this station. And so, you know, this certainly could have been much worse. They didn't have to sell it to WNED. They could have sold it to somebody else. And so you kind of have to see the silver lining in this cloud. I mean, I'm disappointed because of the loss of jazz on analog radio in Buffalo, considering WBFO has had jazz on its schedule for decades. This we had to see this coming.
Yeah, and no, it's been coming. It's been in the works.
So we'll keep following this story as well. And of course, if you want to check out the schedules and listen to the stations, you can go to WNED.org.
Yes.
And
if you care that much.
Yes, absolutely. So developments in public radio here in upstate New York. Onward now to something that caught my attention while you were giving me a rundown of things you wanted to talk about. Some developments concerning the FCC.
Yes, the FCC now. March 21st is going to be a big day for the FCC. The FCC is going to be deciding whether or not to open a new window for translators. And what that will mean, they're also going to be deciding how many translators to grant and what that is supposed to mean for an LPFM opening window, because they don't want to oversaturate the market with translators, but they don't want too many LPFMs in one market either. Also on the agenda, there is the possibility that they may decide to open an LPFM window first, but some insiders inside the FCC are saying that's not likely because the big companies are still, Jake, trying to push the FCC to delay a ruling on LPFM for as late as they can. So nobody really expects the FCC to open up an LPFM window on March 21st.
Well, I would hope not, because I don't think anybody's ready to submit their applications by then.
Right.
And we're certainly not.
No.
Of course, that's our own fault, but I would think that protocol would require them to give notice of a window.
That's what I mean, though, is that they have to decide on that window, and what the big corporations want is for the FCC to say, okay, we're going to hold off on making a decision on this LPFM window a little longer.
Right.
And it looks like that's what's going to happen, because they want them to open a translator window first. Also, what's interesting here is that there is the possibility that the FCC will make a decision on translators relaying AM stations, and the possibility, get this, Jake, the possibility that the FCC might reverse the fate of the translators now relaying AM stations.
Oh, wow. In other words, they might say, you can't do this anymore, people.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Or they could completely leave it, they could completely open it right up and say any and all translators. What we do know is that it is expected that when it comes to AM stations, translators relaying AM stations, the translator cannot be any newer than, I think, a 2008 grant. What we do highly suspect is that things will not stay the status quo with that.
Hmm.
It will either be one or the other.
That is going to... Either way, it's going to create a rather interesting, and for some broadcasters, I suspect, rather unfortunate situation.
Yeah, the March 21st is going to be a big day.
Well, what are your thoughts on this, Radio Kid? I'd like your thoughts on all of this. Your insights.
Look, I think, honestly, I don't think we need another translator window.
I'll agree with that.
How many of these damn little things can they squeeze into the band? And yes, they're going to say, well, we can make so much use out of them with HD2 and the baby, 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 baby. All right. But they're not stations. And they don't get priority. And you can't make local service with a translator. LPFM, while I think they should act on an LPFM window, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not happy with the rules and regulations of LPFM because regular people, regular human beings cannot get their hands on an LPFM. It is impossible for the average human being to apply for that license in their own legally God-given name, set up a 10-watt structure, power line, whatever, transmitter, and serve the community. They've written this all wrong. That's another rant for another time, but because of that, I don't like them opening the LPFM window either, because how many of these corporations that get the LPFM window, these non-C3s, C3 whatever, tax exempts, are going to serve the community, actually serve the community. It's very doubtful. Whereas I think if LPFM were in the hands of individuals, it would serve the community better. I don't think any of these rulings are going to benefit the local public interest, convenience, and necessity, which is what holding a license means, which is what holding a license mandates, which is what you're supposed to do when you have a radio license. So I am not in favor of either window being opened at this point.
I can understand that. I think what you say carries a lot of weight and makes a lot of sense. How do you feel about AM stations being relayed on FM translators?
You know, I don't like that too much either, because then you're making the AM obsolete. You're basically saying, you know what, we've got this AM station and we're just going to throw it away. We're not going to give people any incentive to listen to our station. We want them to hear it on our FM translator. So we're just going to discard our real property and throw it away.
Okay, but what about the argument in the case of... I've got two examples here where an FM translator has benefited. WCJW in Warsaw and WCGR in Canandaigua. I think you can see where I'm coming from here.
Yes, because they are both daytimers. I can see where that's a benefit, and I can respect that in some ways, but then what does that say about... Because essentially you're saying, okay, we're going to set up this network of translators so you can hear it on FM. So you're saying, we don't want you to listen on 1140. So what does that mean for the 1140 signal? It means it's just there as a piggyback.
True.
No, same with CJW. Or excuse me, same with CGR. You will never hear them say AM
1550.
Right. They'll never say, because to that it's 101.7 and 104.9. It's FM. It's greater sound quality. Okay. But So you're telling people, don't write that. And eventually, you know what this is going to run into? Diary problems. Okay? Because when you get that little pink diary from Arbitron, right?
Right.
If you're no longer listening to AM 1550, you're used to hearing it on 104.9. You're going to write down 104.9 in your diary.
104.5,
excuse me. You're going to write down 104.5 in your diary. Right? Because that's what you listen to.
Right.
I got news for you. That's not going to count. Arbitron doesn't count translators.
And see, I'm surprised that some companies haven't tried to change that, considering how many AM stations and HD2 stations are being relayed on translators now.
Yeah, I know.
But that you're right. I quite agree with you. March 21st is going to be a very big day, and I have to wonder if these AM stations and stations carrying HD2 on translators lose the right to have their programming be retransmitted. The question becomes, what becomes of all of these translators?
Hopefully they go dark.
Yes. Frankly, I wouldn't mind if 96.1 here in Geneva went dark. That would open not that frequency, but the frequency next to it for LPFM.
Yeah.
But
so.
We will we'll definitely have some things to say about March 21st after it happens.
That's correct.
So you are listening to and have been listening to Clearing the Static. Believe it or not, I just looked at the clock here, and we are just about out of time for this week's show.
All right, so then we'll wrap the show up. How does that sound?
That sounds fine.
All right, you're listening to Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. Don't forget to check us out on our websites and other social media properties. And until next time, this is the Radio Kid saying, remember all you radio geeks and geekazoids, video didn't kill the radio star. He just went up to heaven so he could spend some time with Johann Sebastian Bach.
We'll talk to you next week, folks. Bye-bye.
You can write to Clearing the Static. You can send email to radionewsnow@ymail.com. For more information about our program, including when and where to hear the show, plus our program archive, please visit our website at clearingthestatic.tripod.com. Get breaking news, program updates, and so much more on our JIQ page at clearingthestatic.jiq.com. You can find our blog, polls, and fun things to do on our social network page on radiojocks.com/profile/clearingthestatic. Clearing the Static is a presentation of Geneva Community Radio, which is solely responsible for its content.